Welcome to the Uplift Chronicles, where we journey through the powerful stories of those who inspire, uplift, and make a difference. I am your host, Kofi Dake.
Starting an NGO, particularly in Africa, is beneficial to our community. However, it is not an easy task. Our guest today has proven experience in starting a Upendo Foundation in Nakuru, Kenya. Additionally, she is an expert in grant writing, head to the operations of NGO. Today, our topic on this episode is starting up an NGO in Africa. Do you write an attractive grant application for your NGO? To discuss this with us, we have Gina as our special guest today. Welcome, Gina.
Thank you so much, Kofi, for having me on today.
Yeah, you are very much welcome, and it's a pleasure to have you here. And also, I've known you for years. However, can you tell our audience a little bit about yourself, and then we'll dive into the questioning.
Thank you. My name is Regina Rithi. Rithi is spelled R-E-I-T-H-I-I. I'm originally from Kenya. I came to this country 22 years ago with my two children, ages 2 and 8. And in 2008, I had my first encounter when there was tribal clashes back in Kenya. And so my sister called me and asked me, would I be willing to support one child? By 2019, I had supported 21 kids through education. In 2020, COVID hit. And just like everybody else, I was asking God to show me what else I was supposed to be doing. I did not want to die with COVID, with my dream, what I call my dream, with my song on. And so on May 7, I had this dream that came to me. And at 4 a.m., I woke up and I recorded it on my journal. And so that's the birth of Upendo, which is now going to be 5 years in 2025.
Yeah. And then career-wise, Gina, I know you had a rewarding career before you actually went to full-time for the NGO.
Yes. So I worked at the Register of Will as a deputy. What that means is we probated estates. But as I started the Upendo Foundation, it was hard for me to juggle the two. And so in 2021, I made the executive decision to quit that job so that I can put 100% into Upendo.
Yes, thank you so much for that introduction. So 3 years ago, I remember having a discussion with you, and you told me that you are getting ready to resign and on your regular job and then pursue Upendo Foundation full time. That meant a huge life changing event.
Yes.
So I know you already said about how you had a dream over this. So how convinced were you that this is the direction that you needed to take at that point in time?
Yes. So it's actually May 21, 2021 that I quit my job. And the reason I had, I must say, my journey has been driven by faith. I strongly believe this vision did not just come to me, but God put it to me because I asked him to show me clearly what's my passion. And so I strongly believed that if I quit everything that I'm doing and just give my 100% to Upendo, that's the way it's going to succeed. A good example I'll say is I'll have calls with executive of foundations, and I'll find myself trapped between working. I'll try to squeeze in my time between 12 and 1 when they are on lunch, or either 7 and 8 before I started my work, or after 4, and that was not working. So at some point, I had to decide, did I want to continue operating like that or let go the employment opportunity and focus 100% on Upendo? And so that's what I did. So by 2021, I started learning how to write grants, and I was doing this full-time. I was researching grants, writing grants full-time. Between 2021 and 2022, I had sent 800 grants and letters of inquiry.
All right. So I'm glad you brought the grant thing right now. So I'll just jump into that and ask you about the grant writing. So all of these grants that you wrote in the first, were this?
No. So one of the things I discovered is we needed money to fund the project. So Upendo, and maybe I'll go deep into that. So Upendo, we focus on education, food, clothing, shelter, and medical needs. And part of the vision was to start a school, a technology hub in Kenya. And everything meant we needed money. So one of the things that I did is put that into steps where I can be able to achieve one goal at a time. So the first goal was to build the library. And so what we did with the library, we upcycled a shipping container. That I was able to do, it was $5,000. So I was able to do that by myself. And then the next project was...
That is one out of the four projects that Pendo actually outlined. Like just for the viewers, I just wanted them to know there were four major projects that you undertook, which is the library, the greenhouse, the borehole water project, and then also the technology hub, right?
Correct.
All right. So, yeah. So let's continue.
So I was able to get that done in 2020. And then 2021, I was able to get the greenhouse going. 2022, I was working on the animal project. And so mostly I was funding this project from my own money. And then I had started trickling donors. You know, people are donating $25, $50. But in order to do like the water borehole, which the project itself, took about $30,000. I needed support. And so that's part of what I was writing. So one of the mistakes that I was doing in writing the grants is I was combining the projects in Kenya and the in US instead of separating. So that's one key thing that I learned in writing the 800, because I would get the reject letters. And one of the reject letters will say, we do not fund that geographic location, or we do not fund outside Delaware. So now I started writing my grant, separating my grants so that when I'm writing, I'll write specific for the project in Kenya or for the project in the US. A key point to learn when you, yes.
So you had simultaneous projects going on in Delaware and the US, right? They might not be similar, but you had an affiliated project going on in Delaware as well, right? So you have to segregate.
Yes. So let me clarify. Part of our project is connecting communities, creating ecosystem communities that support orphans. So our outreach program, which is in Delaware, what we focus on is donations. So we accept clothing, books, we accept technology and ship that in Kenya. So anytime I'll write the grant, although that specific portion does show that, but they did not want the money being spent out of the Delaware. So that was the issue with the grant writing. So now we have them separate, whereby if I'm writing for the projects we are doing in US, it's specific to the US so that the money stays here.
Okay.
Yes. And So going forward, the other thing I learned about the grant is six items that I need to perfect. So the number one is to have, I had a huge 7-page business plan and I noticed that was not cutting. Sometimes they just want a one page. They're asking, send us a 1-page business plan. So I was able to craft a 2-page, literally like a 1.5-page business plan, a strategic plan, a 1-page strategic plan, a 1-page, what they call projected budget, logic model, a proposal, 2-page proposal, and a letter of inquiry. So I worked out on those 6 items so that when it's sending, applying for grant, it's easier for me if they ask me for the strategic plan, for the budget, I would send that way.
Okay.
So with that, we landed our first, which was a major, major accomplishment, Microsoft. So in 2022, we received not only the funding, but also resources, tools, and coaching from Microsoft. I went to Seattle where this was announced. And just to show you, they chose one organization per state. So for the state of Delaware, they chose Upendo as their rep or as their organization to represent.
That was a great milestone.
Yes.
And accomplishment. Yeah.
So again, with the Microsoft, what we have been able to do is not only offer, get their training, but also offer coaching where we're able to get one-on-one mentorship. So beginning of this year, I would say I was able to go back to Kenya and I was able to train 10 individuals on how to write grants. So I was in person in Kenya, trained 10 of them. And the first grant that we wrote with them, or I trained them how to write, was on March 21 of this year. And I'm happy to say to date, the team of 10, they have been able to be awarded $30,000 of grants, showing the effectiveness of crafting a good grant and being able to clearly communicate your message. So that's what I did beginning of this year. Again, in July, beginning of this, I believe, correct me, it's not July, but in May, Microsoft invited me again to go and pitch in Atlanta. This was based on part of the work that we were doing in Kenya. And I'll be specific, integrating technology to ecosystem farming. So we do not only just address the education part, but show the kids how to grow food in small spaces based on the community that we are serving. So through the pitch, I was able to share a story, which is also on our YouTube channel, for the story of Brian. And so through that story, what has happened is Microsoft did not only fund us for the second year, but also selected us for the state of the Delaware as the only nonprofit that can offer their certification through a program they are calling Microsoft Learners for Educators. And so with this new project, it means a lot because we can be able not only to continue teaching the grant skills using the Word and Excel, but also we can reach other organizations in Africa, Ghana, Sierra Leone. We're already supporting an organization from Liberia right now working on their project so that they have the 6 documents they need and also help them through the grant writing.
Yes. That's very impressive on that. And I know we talked in length about the expansion and trying to help people understand the same points in writing those grants. Yeah, you do a great job. Really appreciate it over there.
Thank you.
Yeah, you've talked in length about the Microsoft affiliation business as one of the ambassadors. It's interesting how that, you know, like when you see the end product of Upendo right now, which is still going on, right? You would think that everything just went smoothly, but you had some challenges. What are some of the major challenges you had in starting up Upendo, apart from the failure grant writers that you had?
Yes, I've had several dips. That's what I call them, the dips. My dips are our challenges. When I quit my job, literally for 1 year, I had enough money that I could live off it and be able to dedicate my time 100%. Coming to the second year, I could not sustain. And so I looked for a part-time job, a caregiving job for that year, year 2023. And so what that did, it enabled me to work part-time and pay my bills at the same time, continue writing grants. And so that paid off. And on the flip side, helping, or maybe the advice I can give for those organizations that want to start is to, the way I like to put it is, still keep your day job and try to work this part-time until it's stable, you're able to take off. That would be one advice that I can give. Through that, it's a lesson. It was a challenge, but it's a lesson that I learned. Though looking back, I'm appreciative of that time, being able to not working 8 to 5 like a traditional job that limited me to making connections, but working a job that will pay my bills so that I could be able to continue still being able to meet during the day to make my connections and to follow up with my meetings during the normal day. So that's one of the challenges. The other challenge, we are building a school right now in Kenya. We've done up to the first level, which is the foundation level, meaning the next step is do the walling and the base, and we'll have our ICT hub. So funding continues to be a challenge. So the beauty portion of it is now we have something tangible that we can be able to show. We have not only drilled a 250.
In your video, your camera back on?
No, I don't know what happened.
There you go. Thank you.
Yeah. So again, going back to the challenges. So that was another challenge of funding. But after 3 years, now we can be able to show what we have done in 4 years, I'll say four going to fifth year, that number one, we have upcycled a shipping container into a library and into a resource center, whereby we've trained 320 students just for this year. We've trained them in Microsoft Office and also Introduction to Computer. We've trained 10 trainers this year. The second project we have completed is we drilled a borehole, which I mentioned was a bigger challenge. But we were able to accomplish that beginning of this year, drilled a 250-meter borehole, installed solar so we do not use electricity, and also build a 3 water tower so we are able to serve the local community with water. What that means is this community do not have to rely on the rain season to be able to grow food. They can be able now to grow food throughout the season. With this project, being able to show the impact, what they call on grant writing, the impact, it's easier for us to continue getting funding. The second portion is also the numbers. We can be able to show the numbers of students we are impacting. So that goes a long way when you're writing grants. So I'll say those are some of the challenges, but through the challenges, we are learning. I like to take as lessons that we've learned through the challenges.
And then also the other question I have, how difficult was it to get real estate land in Apuri to undertake this project?
That's another challenge. I'll say we are seated in Kenya. We are seated on more than $50,000 land. It's 1 acre in Kenya. And due to funding, what I did is I donated my piece of land. We're still hoping we can be able to get additional funding to expand our project. But right now we are working on 1 acre of land. Again, using that as a challenge as well. If you're new starting a nonprofit, I would encourage you to rent maybe a room. So if you rent a small room to start your work and expand through that way, if you don't have the money for land, that doesn't have to be a limiting factor. And it's something that I've learned from my own experience.
Right. Yes. Yeah, that's really good. That's very important one as well.
Yeah.
You do also participate in a lot of community outreach programs, both in Delaware and then also in the U.S. One that we participated as the Uplift Chronicles, and Upendo was one of the 5K virtual run or walk this year, summertime. That was like first one in kind that we participated. Can you talk more about your outreach programs?
Yes. So one of the things, again, and I'm going to tie this to writing the grants. So you'll find the grants wants to see, or they'll fund somebody who is familiar to the space or in the community. So you're not just funding an organization in a place where you're not familiar. So one good way to be able to do that.
No problem. No, yeah.
So one good way of connecting with the community is through an event. And the FK, which we have done for the last 4 years, have been a beautiful way of connecting. So through that, we do not only get the volunteers, people who will be interested in volunteering for us, but we also get to connect with people who are interested in donating the items for us. The dad portion of that is I've had two trips to Kenya, and part of that came through the people who participated in 5K. So that's a good way if you're starting a nonprofit to stay engaged with the community. It can be a gala. Maybe it can be a gala event, it could be a 5K, it could be a dinner, but that's a good way to connect with other individuals and to find donors for your organization as well.
Yeah. It's very impressive. And just going back, so a lot of corporations do participate in corporate social responsibilities, giving back to the community and staying engaged. So it's good that you're doing this. And then also for our listeners, those who want to go into NGOs, to make sure they put that as part of their goals and things to do. Yeah. But Upendo also is making changes in Africa and also in Delaware. So there are challenges that a lot of orphans and vulnerable children have faced. And this is some of the changes that Upendo Foundation is doing, trying to help many orphans as well as vulnerable children. You started off in Nakuru and you're doing a great job. So where do you see Upendo going after this? I know we talked about your goal.
Yeah, I am very, very excited and very looking for the 2025. We are calling it the year of takeoff. Reason being, now we are at a place where we can be able to generate income as well. And not just generate income, but these are children we have supported, and we are seeing them come to the level whereby now they're the ones helping us generate the income. So tying that to the orphans, our belief is not only just feed the stomach, not only put clothing and shelter, but empower these individuals so that they can be able to be sustainable individuals. So I'm very happy with the first 10 that we took. We trained them. I personally trained them in January. One of them, again, it's on our YouTube. Her name is Lillian. Lillian, at age of 19, had never touched a computer. So we brought her in, worked with her from January through March. I had one of our collaborating partners from the US who had visited. And so she was helping them. Then from March, I went on to start teaching them grant. So Lillian up to date is one example. She's not only able to support herself, but she's able to support her parents. She's able to, I believe she's written 25 grants within the last 6 months. So what we do, they write the grants. We have a portal. They write the grants, but we pay them for the grants that they have paid. So that way they are able to sustain. The second thing that they are doing to create multiple streams of income for them, during the holiday, they are the ones teaching the kids, the high school students. So the same format we use, I train them 10. I challenge them to train 10. So they did not only train 10, but they outdid themselves by training each individually. We trained 320. If you break that by 10 of them, it means each one of them trained over 30 students this year. So if you follow that format, it means next year we are looking to do about 3,000 students. How are we going to do that? We are training trainers, training of the trainers, not only just in the grant writing, but also using the Microsoft Learn for Educators. We are certifying these individuals. They can do data analytics, cybersecurity, Minecraft, Azure. There's so many certifications they can do. So with those certifications, we are looking to be able to, number one, next year, to be able to have what we're calling Tech on Wheels. And with Tech on Wheels in Kenya, it means we can be able to reach any area in Kenya. And we have enough trained trainers. And that's where we're going to be able to achieve our goal of 3,000. So taking these vulnerable children, starting them from when they're high school with a free program, it's a pretty much free, we are not charging them, free program to sensitize them to STEM. Once they graduate, then they can do their advanced certification through Microsoft. They can turn around and become our own trainers. The second portion that I'm looking for is a collaboration with Microsoft Kenya, which is something that's ongoing behind the scene. And so what I'm looking for is the connection in two levels. Number one is for every Microsoft employee who volunteers for Upendo, Microsoft donates $25. So that $25 will go a long way in helping us certify more children. The second collaboration with
volunteering as far as any services could be virtually or you do have presence in Nairobi.
It can actually be virtual because that's the first way we did it. The first training we had from Microsoft was one of the employees was in Florida and was able to train our 10 trainers in Kenya. So it can be virtual or in person. You can do it also as a service trip when you're visiting Kenya and especially during the holidays. We can organize so that you come and train them for those 3 weeks they are on holiday. So that's one way. The second collaboration we are looking for Microsoft is opportunities for the students we are working with to intern with them. So if we can get those two, in addition to our courses for communication and financial literacy, we are looking to place these kids not only in well-paying job in tech world. So that's how we see our handling or addressing the issue of orphans, not just food, clothing, shelter, and medical needs, but equipping them to whereby they can be sustained themselves.
Yeah. That's very exciting. Also very. Considering the fact that Nairobi in Kenya is one of the hub of technology in Africa right now. So that's really good. Put those strengths. Okay. But also the other thing that I wanted to ask you is, so you offer this training on grant writing also virtually. So if somebody in Ghana, somebody in Cameroon or somebody in Zambia wanted to participate in this, are they able to?
Yes, actually, that's a good question that you asked, Kofi. The first session that I did through actually Mandela Fellowship, we're able to mentor a lot of students through grant writing. And one thing that I noted is there are grants in the US that can support organizations in Africa. What advantage I have is the portal. So we have a portal with over 3,000 grants that can benefit organizations in Africa, whether it's agriculture technology. So I'm able, starting January 7, we're having our next session. It's a paid session, a seven-week session that I'm going to be doing it in person virtually. You can join that group. What I do in that, not only I train you to do the six documents that you need, that's letter of inquiry, strategic plan, business plan, a proposal, projected budget, and a missing and a logic model. We also practice through the portal. We'll pull the ground and we'll write the ground together so that by the time in 7 weeks when I'm done with you, you should be able to craft a simple grant and continue practicing from there. So yes, you can be able to jump in from anywhere, South Africa, Guinea, Liberia, you can be able to join in the virtual class.
And this is free of charge?
No, the grant writing class is not free. At this point, because my goal is to be able to empower the organizations in Africa, it's $200 for organizations that are in Africa. But it's $700 for organizations that are in US for 7 week training.
Yes. Yeah, I know we did coordinate on one activity for, I believe it was Mandela Fellows.
Correct. Yeah.
You gave them tutorial and guidance on grant writing, which they felt most of them are still in touch, and actually they felt that very informational and very helpful. But also one important thing that I also picked out was the elevator speech.
Yes.
You them how to give, like, how do you give this elevator speech when you meet decision makers and they don't have a lot of time at their disposal to listen to, like, a whole page of
cutting out. Yes. So
can you advise on that? Because
Through the grant session, one of the, and actually part of the program, that all the individuals that we are taking under our belt are either here in the US or in Kenya. We teach them communication skill, budgeting or financial literacy, and then the technology. So we are not just teaching technology certification, but offering a program that's all a holistic approach such that they can earn money. They know how to have a simple budget to manage their money. Also, they can communicate, which is very important. The reason with the communication or with the elevator pitch, when I was called in Atlanta, they gave us 7 minutes to be able to present your case. So going there and not knowing what you're communicating is a big, big mistake. So that's one of my specialty on teaching how to do elevator pitch, and I craft it and draft it in a way that it's making sense to the funders, because that's the key word. It's making sense to the funders. Mostly they want to see, if we fund this project, will you be sustainable? If we fund your project, will you be sustainable, or do you need to come back next year and ask for funding from us? If you cannot show that you'll be able to be sustainable, most organizations will not fund you. As much as you're non-profit, they will not fund you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I found that very useful. Actually, I use it a lot and I encourage especially the young ones coming up also to use that a lot. Yeah. So talking about faith and family, Gina, I know you are a person of faith, and how instrumental has your faith in God and also your church organizations been helpful in shaping you or shaping Kendo to where it is right now?
You know, that's a good question you asked, Kofi, because truly, truly, my story is a story of faith. And as we speak, I'm finalizing my prayer journal, which is a 20-minute prayer. I'll call it ritual or habit that I have used consistently. And in this prayer, I call it prayer meditation journal. Most of the things I've found out is it's through faith that we are, Upendo is where it is. I have learned through the process, through the 4.5 years, it's not what I do, it's but being connected to God. And if God gave me this vision that he's able to connect me with the right people at the right time to fund this organization. So the way I like it to call it, I like to call it a fourth step. And I'm just going to briefly talk about that. The first step I believe in is knowing that you're not alone. As the founder of a nonprofit, and you hear this more and more, most people will not want to fund you, individuals, your family, actually your family member will not fund you, your friends will not fund you. That's the good news, right? And the reason I learned this is if they funded you, then you'll be giving praise to them. You know, it was my family that helped me fund this organization. But God wants to receive that honor, right? So intentionally, you find that people close to you will not fund your organization. And it's people who do not you that will fund your organization. So one of the things I like to, through my ritual in the morning, is to believe that God is guiding me. God is directing my path. God is ordering my steps every day. And so I don't like to step my day without connecting to that. The second portion of that is counting the blessing. This is like a huge one. But the Bible talks about be thankful at all times. And if you can craft a habit of being grateful, it goes a long way. It's almost like showing God, if you're grateful for this, I give you more reasons to be grateful. So I literally journal and I write things that I'm grateful for. So on a daily basis, I'll focus on like 6 to 9 things that I'm thankful for. It could be I was able to connect with coffee today. And through coffee, you never know what else connection will be. It could be I was able to write complete 1 grant. So I write those items that I'm grateful for. And I take 5 minutes of my time just to feel the blessing of that. That portion of that is listening. The way people do it, we pray all the time. We like to talk to God, which is amazing. But one thing that we fail to do is to listen to God. So they say prayer is you talking to God, but intuition is God talking to you. So crafting 5 minutes of your time, and literally when I say that, I say the time, and I say, God, order my step today, or God, speak to me, I'm listening, right? And I take 5 minutes and just be quiet. And it's through these that I've gotten amazing connections. It's through the listening. So sometimes it will be like, email so-and-so, or remember to call ABCD. Or sometimes it will be a simple thing like, don't go to, like, I wanted to go shopping in the morning, and there is this urge not to do it in the morning and to do it at a later time. And I find out a good example will be 3 weeks ago, I was supposed to meet somebody at 12. They say you can come after 12. And I have this same that inner voice, you know what, go at 1 o'clock. So at 1 o'clock when I went, the first person I meet is a lady who wants to go to Kenya on a mission trip. Yeah. She's a nurse at AI DuPont. She wants to get to Kenya for 3 weeks and just be in Kenya. And she didn't know where to start. We connect with her. And it was through that listening. If I went at 12, I couldn't have met her. I went at 1, I was able to connect her. So she did not only like confirm next year she can come to Kenya and help with the orphans, but also connected with the DuPont so that their organization can donate diapers and feminine pads that they do not use to Upendo. So those are how the connections, which is a part core of Upendo, connect, that have been connected. Yeah. So faith is a huge, for me, it's Upendo is just all about love and also God divinely connecting with the right people at the right time.
Yes, and Upendo means love in Swahili.
Yes. And the journal, my prayer journal, will be out beginning of the year. It will be through Amazon. If somebody wants to purchase it, it's $11. But in addition, the proceeds goes to Upendo. 100% of the proceeds are going to support Upendo Trade the School.
Yeah, that would be great to get a copy when it's out. Get a copy, and then if you want to come back on this platform and we talk into depth in it. About it, we can do it.
Yeah, I'll be happy to come in. Yeah.
Yes, that would be great. You have a lot to offer, Gina.
And thank you. One thing
that I will need you to congratulate you on is becoming a grandmother.
Yes.
I know we had to push this episode.
Yes. So that's part of the blessings for the not only supporting the work that we are doing, but it's such an honor to be a grandma, and not just a grandma, that the baby is called after me. So this has come and she's named after me. It's changed my life within the last 3 weeks. And one way, I'm actually completely grateful because she allowed me to complete the journal. So I have time to be a grandma and not only complete the crafting of the journal. The second thing that I'm grateful for is the opportunity now to start not only praying with her, praying for her, reading for her. Those are some of my grandma duties. So I hold her in my hand. We pray with her every day. We read every day. So these are important things that we don't realize even as we serve orphans, that we are able to break generational paths over our children, our children's children. So that has been a beautiful feeling. You have to be able to be experienced to know the feeling.
Yeah, children are blessing, most definitely.
Yes.
You have to show compassion, care to them all the time. Jenna, I know there's a lot we can talk about, but what message would you have? And a message would you have for our listeners?
My message is always very simple. We are called here for a reason, right? Or the way I like to put it, God has given you a song that he wants you to dance to it, right? So one of the things I always remember, the richest place to harvest is at the cemetery. Why is the cemetery? Because so many people die with their songs on them. So many people die with their dreams on them. So one thing I'll say is step out and dance to your song. Do not wait until things are aligned for you to step out, but step out and start dancing to your song or to your calling, if that's the case.
Yes, absolutely. That's very great, inspiring message that you've just given to all of us. So I always like to use this platform to highlight the many good things that's happening in Africa, diaspora, and in our community. You know, obviously, Gina, you are making a change in the diaspora and also in Kenya. For that, I do thank you a lot, okay? For making time also and willingly sharing your great and inspiring experience and story on how to set up an NGO, writing grant applications that are meaningful. And then also you've inspired me, and I believe you've also inspired and uplifted a lot of people listening to this podcast. All I would ask for, Gina, is for you to give me an open door policy. So if I need to call up to you to share anything on this podcast, you'll be willing to do so.
Yes, anytime.
Thank you so much. And as the African proverb says, it takes a village to raise a child. And we are definitely doing that.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And let's continue serving our continent.
Yes, and rightfully so. We can create a safe and healthy environment in which our children can develop and flourish in pursuing their dreams for all their life.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And remember to help Openda Foundation to continue to our society by also assisting them or even donating them by going to their webpage. Gina, how do people reach out to you?
Yes. So you can go through our website, which is upendounitedfoundation.org/donate. That's one way, upendounitedfoundation.org/donate. You can also use the Cash App, which is the same. It will be Upendo United. That's another way. Or you can use the PayPal. So PayPal will be info@upendounitedfoundation.org. And that's one way you can support us. Also, we do accept in-kind donation. So if you have technology like computers, chargers that you're no longer using, books that you're not using, we accept that. And for the state of Delaware, we do have a location where you can be able to drop them. So thank you so much for that opportunity.
Yes, and I went on your website. Everything is on your website as well, Gina, and I appreciate that. Very cool. Yeah. So to our listeners, a big thank you for staying tuned with us during this podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Uplift Chronicles. And please leave us your feedback on all our social media platforms, including Apple Podcasts and YouTube and many other platforms that we publish. Please subscribe and follow us for more updates. Thank you so much.
Thank
for your
you.
Time.
Thank you and happy holidays.
Same to you. Thank Enjoy. You.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Uplift Chronicles. I hope you found inspiration in today's stories and the spirit of upliftment. Remember, every life has the power to inspire change, and every story is a thread in the rich tapestry of our shared heritage. If you enjoyed this episode, kindly subscribe and leave a review, and share it to someone who could use a little upliftment in their life. Follow us on social media for more updates and join the conversation. Until next time, keep uplifting and stay inspired. Signing off, this is Kofi Dake.